So this is the beginning of book Beta in the Greek alphabet, December 2nd, 1981, going through April 5th of 1981. And we're getting very close to the beginning of the Nobel Prize work. That is still thinking about origins of replication, though, at this point, and various probes. So it starts off December 3rd, Thursday, page 1, looking at probes that are now available. Hot probes, various probes, and ballast probes as well. We have a look at them on page 3. The conclusion greatly improved with clean fragments, etc. Time series with tests of Paula's material. A cheerful note on page 7. The conclusion, the hybridization is getting to be quite good. And Paula shows something at about 300 base pairs and at the start. More label tests on the following page, 48 hours hybridization and 12 hours hybridization. New tests, probes are available for G gamma 1482, FNU4R1 fragment, and 462 A gamma FNU4R1. Test each against itself and against the opposite is the idea. No very definite conclusions. Longer hybridization and less single-stranded DNA on page 15 with the conclusion that query a bad experiment. The label's very low for some unknown reason, but all our cross experiments and they didn't show yesterday, so it was an unsatisfactory day. This is so repeated. On page 17 again with the conclusion, very disappointing. Perhaps alpha 109 is a little too stringent. But there was no label at all in this experiment except for the probe itself, I think. Paula's material test, purified fragments being looked at on page 19, Friday, December 11. Conclusion, it worked fine in capital letters. The present estimate is very close to full length, about 700 base pairs long. So we're looking for the fragment that Paula was interested in. Evidently Grant writing time, because there's a note Tuesday, February 2nd, Grant's written, page 21. And then a reprint from David Ward's lab on enzymatic synthesis of biotin-labeled polynucleotides, a novel nucleic acid affinity probe, which struck me as being rather exciting, and I thought I would try that type of experiment. So he gave a seminar on December 9th, talking about his immunobiotin methods. And I began to think I might use that and indeed I know that quite a lot of the work in the next a book or so is related to that. So my notes are of looking at going to a seminar of his on December 9th, 1981, David Ward. And as usual, when I went to seminars in those days, I would always take notes of them, that I enjoyed the seminars better if I took notes, and it made me absorb the material. But it was a pleasure, not something to be done under duress, but rather for enjoyment. And so here are two pages of notes from David Ward's seminar. And I'm trying to follow some of his work on February 3rd. And trying to absorb the probes, the labor material to Sigma, avid in Agarose material that was available, so one could try for absorption. Looking at this as a repeat on page 27, only non-specific losses is the conclusion. IBDUTP, that's presumably immunobiotin or biotin derivative, I forgot what that was called, maybe blocking the beads, but anyway, immunobiotin incorporation for further checks. On the following page, February 5th, Friday, page 29, getting into this experiment. Repeat of the absorption experiments on page 31, and with 13 counts on the beta binding, and 1300 counts, and only 270 on the T binding, and with the comment clearly there is some binding, but either need to increase time or amount of agarose, and not very many counts. If we're only dealing with 270 counts per minute. Counter trouble. Oh, the next page. Better labeling material, thought to be on that page. 37, but there was an error which is solved on page 59. And the experiment with heparin, and this was repeated on page 39, an attempt to increase the yield. Apparently heparin was thought to make things more specific. And with the conclusion, once again, heparin because I didn't see the preceding experiment, but this time, once again, heparin decreased the non-specific incorporation very markedly. But it also appears to abolish the specific binding. So a triphosphate buffer in place of heparin, and or detitrate the heparin. So here we go, working on biotin labeling, immunobiotin labeling. A repeat of the experiments again, as usual. Other conditions using for binding immunobiotin to streptavidin, Stan Klein's conditions from Enzo Bauer, being looked at. Page 49, the conclusion that the non-inhibited binding is the larger molecular weight material. The specific binding is small. But the starting material looks as if EMBO did not work, which was commented on earlier, that there would be some check on EMBO. So, just usual technical problems, titrating the beads, February 11th, page 53, and continuing. Repeat the EMBO digest with more enzyme. Nothing much specific here on page 55. So, a letter from Stan Klein. Dear Oliver, I'm enclosing so many units of immunobiotin, DUTP, etc. So sending material, people are always kind at sharing their precious products. A mark of a good scientist. Remake of labeled test material, February 12th, page 59. And stuck in here at page 51 is a map. Photographic record of a map of the region between pseudo beta and the beta and the delta gene, of where the two allo sequences are. So I don't know whose map that is, but it's certainly a useful map. New sample of agarose avidin on page 62. Struggling to make the method work. LUH and supernatants looked at on page 67. A non-specific T binding is about 3% for all, and whatever T binding is. Picking up from page 61, Saturday, February 13th, labeling continued, and then looking at the counts that were obtained when the label, when the material was labeled with thymidine T, or with immunobiotin uracil, uridine, IBU. So T is the material that should not bind to the column, and B is material that should bind to the column. And the differences in counts on this page are minuscule. That T was eluted as 14,000 counts per microliter, and immunobiotin, it was 16,000 counts, so clearly it didn't yet work appreciably. So we continue on the following page 63 with a new preparation of a new product of agarose avidin to which the biotin will bind. Buying this from Vector Laboratories Incorporated. And the LUH and the supernatants a well compared on the following day, but the conclusion is that the non-specific T binding is about 3% for everything, and increased slightly by biotin. But there's and then all three argos do fairly well with immunobiotin. This was a test of three different agarose preparations, agarose streptavidin. Vector Labs is best, about 12% difference between the specific and non-specific binding, and streptavidin is next best at 8%, and Sigma is the worst at 6%. But so then, and qualitatively, by the autoradiographs, streptavidin column, however, is most like the input. So, you know, continue with the three agars that omit the T control for the present time. And end labeling with immunobiotin DU, either by end labeling or NIC translation for size tests being carried out on Tuesday, February 16th, looking at the differences between the end labeling and the NIC translation on page 71. We could suspect an error because the results were very odd. I'm going back to titrating the beads on February 20th. Hello, it's supinatant. Looked at on page 75. That with the conclusion that the Elliots are truly representative, except the one V plus B, looks suspiciously like too little B. In any case, vector gel is either twice or four times better than A, so a different agarose material, so comparing the different column materials. Titration of the vector beads on 77, as asked for on page 75. Cleaning up of the DNA. On page 79, non-specific binding is very low, but the specific binding is there but small. So make me translate it again and try again from scratch. A new NIC translated DNA, page 81 and 83. Continuing to try to get a decent label with specific ability to isolate the DNA that had been that had incorporated the immunobiotin. For example, on page 87, a rather severe side effect, but still can titrate the beads by examining the supinatants. Counts alone can be misleading. Continuing to try to repeat this problem. Smaller pieces on page 93, Monday, March 8th. Time series the following days. On and on with the same type of experiment. 101. Conclusion promising the supernatant scenarios are beginning to approach. Beads are not saturated, etc., etc. pH control time series. And on page 107, evidently talk to David Ward. I have his telephone number there, and but he was abroad for a while, and David Ward arranged for me to talk to Stan Klein, and etc. And so yellow page notes of these telephone conversations. I remember these days getting more and more deeply into the biotin labeling and less happy with the work. Comments on recapitulation on page 109. The data collected on the left show progressive improvement, but critical factors appear to be the time effect for large pieces, and pH effect for elution and blocking experiments, etc., etc. Reminder that streptavidin and avidin have different pKs, and notes on my own notes on what was happening, recapitulating. Cold carrier, I need a carrier with aminobiotin, exclamation mark, Thursday, March 18th. Typical comment here, conclusion, 1.5 hour exposure yields even on zero added DNA are very, very low, as shown by the counts. On and on. Testing different beads again. For example, on Monday, March 22nd, page 129, an experiment with different supernatants and elevates of different preparations with conclusion, nothing wrong with the labeled DNAs, but the results confirm approximately useless eluates. So their supernatants were nice, heavily labeled, but nothing came from the beads. And a nice little letter from Stanley Klein on March 24, saying we've reviewed your recent proposal and requests concerning streptavidin. We're very interested in your studies, etc., etc. Since we're providing this material free of charge, we would like to have the material only used by yourself, etc. But nonetheless, they were puzzled by the lack of specific binding. You might also do this and that and the other. So, a polite letter from Stanley Klein. Evidently, David Ward had a little business of some sort going on, though I don't know the details of that. I higher pHs. pH test comparison. Heavily labeled material on page 141. The alloates and supernatants being tested. Still, evidently, nothing very striking, or there would have been a comment on it. Titration of the beads with low pH elution in this case. Struggling on with it, and it continues, page 149, 147. Higher pH absorption and lower pH elution, Monday, April 5th, 147. Results on page 149, saying that the lower pH for elution is poorer than 4. pH optimum is 12, etc., etc. Problems. And the last couple of pages are testing ECOR1 on immunobiotin NIC translated material versus the same with thymidine control material. Because with the conclusion that the substitution must be quite low, hence only about 30% recovery. The ECOR1 cutting is very good. Provisional conclusion to end the page on page on Tuesday, April 6th. Time is okay, maximum reached in 1 to 2 hours, etc., etc. But nothing very remarkable. And I know what is coming in book gamma. So here we end a book beta at this time.